folks, and welcome to episode 16 of the ChicagoFootball.com Bears podcast. Might as well start calling this the Deja Vu Bears podcast, because Arthur, every week it's just another weird finish and the Bears lose, and here we are to recap it for everybody. But that's what we're here to do. We want to recap it for you guys as quickly as possible, move on, talk about the Vikings, give you some hope, give you some things to think about in the final 3 weeks of the season, and you know, some entertaining things to listen to on your commutes or wherever you listen to us. Of course, you can find all of our work at ChicagoFootball.com, on Twitter at Bears_Insider. I am at K Fishbane. He is at Arthur Arkish. We got executive producer Dan Mott, associate producer John Solly on hand. Two guests on today's show: Bears wide receiver Josh Bellamy. We talked about really important things like who has the best car on the Bears and who is the best dressed. And then Mark Craig of the Minneapolis Star Tribune will talk to us about Bears Vikings. And for those of you who can't always figure it out, sometimes Arthur's not with me in our ChicagoFootball.com studios. Today he's wearing purple, which is awesome because he knows Northwestern's got a big basketball game tonight, so he's repping some purple for me, and he just looks great sitting right next to me in the studio.
More importantly, I'm wearing pants, so that's a departure from normally sitting in my home office. But no, it's a pleasure to be in here. And yeah, looking at all your smiling faces, let's make some podcast magic.
Well, Arthur, you just reminded me why we never turn the video on during the Skype session.
I already have it. I don't allow it to be on.
So it works out well. So you're here with me. We can chat about Bears versus Washington. Another one where it's kind of hard to figure out where to begin. I mean, Jay Cutler, I was looking back at this, I thought he played really well. And then he missed a bunch of plays. I mean, he overthrew Jeffrey one time. He underthrew Jeffrey on one of the biggest plays of the game. And those are opportunities for them to score. They fell behind early. The pass defense was atrocious. Let's start with the offense, though. What your takeaway was from Cutler's performance and the way they managed that offense being down 14 twice.
You know, I thought Cutler was okay. I thought he made a number of special plays like we've seen all season, mostly with his legs and his creativity to avoid pressure. And that was a positive. And there were a number of good throws across his body, some dangerous plays that he made that did work out. But it looked to me like he was a little out of his comfort zone, maybe from a couple of the early hits that he took. And you mentioned there was an underthrow. There was also an overthrow, I believe. The deep ball accuracy hasn't been great. But as you alluded to, it's not easy for any offense to be playing catch-up immediately. And that was the hole the Bears defense dug, which is part of kind of that deja vu feeling that you mentioned.
Yeah, and a couple of those misplays, and you know, there were a couple of times he missed open players. Then you go back and you watch it, and the protection broke down. I mean, this is maybe the worst game for the offensive line all season, even though he was only sacked twice. But one of those is a strip sack. Kyle Long admitted he had a terrible game. Grisou and Ome had a rough game again over the middle. Matt Slauson had a holding penalty. I didn't notice Charles Leno all game, so there's something. But, you know, not big holes to the run game. The longest run of the game was 10 yards. There at times Cutler was rushing it. Just an ugly kind of look for that group.
They made the Washington defense look a lot better than it really is, I think. And, you know, if you can talk about the lack of continuity within the offense if you choose to. I think the penalties are huge, though. There were big transgressions on the first and last drive that put the Bears behind the sticks, and that's obviously been another disturbing trend. So, but hey, they were in position late. I know we'll get to that, and you know, obviously weren't able to get it done. The deja vu in season is disappointing, but it's not totally surprising for a team like this, and actually Hub wrote this in his column this week, so check out the insert. If there's deja vu like this next year, where right, we're kind of thinking back to this season, that's when I think you maybe have to be a little more alarmed.
Let's we'll talk about the defense in a little bit, but we'll get into it right now because we're going to jump into our three and out.
One, two, three.
I'm going to give you to the count of three.
Then shalt thou count to three.
I'm going to count to three.
1, 2, 5.
Lisa,
three.
We promise you the quickest and greatest recap of all Bears games here on our podcast. One positive, one negative, one moment that mattered. Arthur, you're positive.
I thought Zach Miller was terrific, 85 yards and a touchdown, his most extensive action of the year with Martellus Bennett on injured reserve. He's fighting through injuries, but it doesn't appear to be affecting both his dependability and kind of the speed and the mismatch elements that he brings to the offense. So definitely a positive from Sunday.
You know, the thing about Zach Miller, and I'm sure we'll talk about Jordan Reed in the negatives part for the Bears, but John Fox talked about Miller being like Reed at that F tight end, mm-hmm. and you saw the Bears take advantage of it. You know, he's manned up with Mason Foster and gets a 30-yard gain in the slant for a touchdown. So we'll continue to see more of that. My positive, Willie Young and Lamar Houston. Great games for the two of them. No McPhee. Houston led the team in tackles, had a sack. Willie Young had a sack. And Willie Young's been really good against the run this year. And it's not so much, it's kind of hard. It's not like he's stout and large, you know, as some of these kind of run defenders you're used to. But he's just making plays. You know, he beat Trent Williams. Trent Williams was holding him. He got flagged for holding. And Willie Young still made a tackle for a loss there in the fourth quarter. So I think he's playing really, really good football and is making a very good case to, you know, be a big part of this team next year.
And with all due respect to Charles Leno, Trent Williams and Joe Staley, these are blue chip first round left tackles that Willie Young has been beating up on, so that it kind of just makes it all the more impressive.
I love giving respect to Charles Leno.
He's been good.
Or lack of disrespect, whichever way you want to look at it. All right, what was your biggest negative?
Yeah, it's easy, but it has to be mentioned. Sometime in the show, you talked about the problems with Jordan Reed, and no one had more problems than Shea McClellan. It's not that Jonathan Anderson and Christian Jones, or even Adrian Amos from the safety group, was any better, but Shea is the guy that gets him lined up, and there were noticeable miscommunications, there were missed tackles, there were blown coverages. It does fall on Shea more than anyone. Not a good game for him at all.
No, it wasn't. And I was kind of disappointed that they didn't read the article that I wrote the week before. I wrote an article about Jordan Reed. I asked them about Jordan Reed.
Nailed it.
They told me all these things about how they're going to stop Jordan Reed, and they didn't do it. It was like free release Sunday at Soldier Field. It was like Mel Tucker came back and they were playing the I mean, he's just running off 8 yards off the line and then he does his route. Well, no one's going to be able to stop that. But that's their defense. I'm not going to. Vic Fangio is a great defensive coordinator. I'm not going to question him. But I just thought it was interesting that their plan or whatever they executed wasn't what they were talking about during the week. That's for sure. My biggest negative, I hate to harp on Robbie. I hate to harp on Robbie Gould.
It's another guy that needs to be mentioned in here, though. Yeah. You know, we've got to be fair.
I mean, and you know what? He was taking a ton of warm-up kicks, and he looked really good. And I tweeted this before the 50-yard kick. He was hitting them from, I think he hit a 58-yarder in practice into that end zone with room to spare in warm-ups, but that wasn't when it was raining.
It wasn't when there was any pressure either.
That's true also. And he told us he worked out on Monday. Now, the Bears should have done a better job getting him closer, certainly. But Robbie's been good from 50 out this year and his entire career, and he's supposed to make those pressure kicks in two games in a row. I mean, you just can't have that for a kicker as good as he is.
Getting paid as much as he is,
too. Yeah. So those are our negatives. All right, what was your one moment that kind of sticks out?
Well, it was the inability to set up Robbie for more success. It's easy to look at the Gold missed kick, obviously. We talked a little bit about the Alshon underthrow that would have been a touchdown. What about that third down play, though, on the Bears' final drive? I've been back and forth on this week. I like it that they're aggressive, that they're going for they're going for the throat and for the win. But after seeing them go with the shot plan, second down, maybe a little higher percentage throw than another deep pass to Eddie Royal on the other side of the field that Cutler missed. Who knows if you get another 5 yards, something simple, higher percentage play, if Gold's in better shape within 50.
Yeah, you know, in a similar fashion, that wide receiver screen that got blown up. Oh, my gosh. I went back and watched that, and Will Compton, the Washington linebacker, is screaming over to his linemen and cornerbacks as Cutler's making a call at the line. And the second Cutler snaps the ball, Compton immediately starts running towards Alshon Jeffrey along with the defensive line. They were completely ready for it. They blew it up, and, you know, the Bears had to punt. The Bears' fourth quarter drives went a 3-and-out. That pretty good drive, two big plays from Miller Mariani before they stalled and had to punt, and then of course the one ending the missed field goal. And that this is where this team has struggled to finish the games. I always have to bring up this caveat though, and we talk about these close games they've lost. So we got Lions, Vikings, Broncos, 49ers, Washington. But I think people also need to remember that the games against the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Chiefs could have easily gone the other way for the Bears. So, you know, they've talked about how they need to even those things out. And the Packers How could I forget Thanksgiving?
Right.
So they're 4-5 in said games. And you want to win a lot more of those than you lose. So now they have 3 more games to get that. But this was another game that fourth quarter issues, they can't close it out.
Yeah, it just kind of illustrates the small margin for error. I know we talk about that a lot on this show, but that's what happens when you don't have the depth and you don't have the, you know, there's a little bit of a lack of playmakers. You just can't make some of the silly mistakes. This was, talk about deja vu, wasn't it Navarro Bowman who told Jimmy Ward last week about the screen and allowed that pick six to happen? So to hear you say Compton was doing the same thing, screaming out to his DBs, it's kind of ironic because I think those are check with me plays, but it seems like the adjustment to Cutler's adjustment is the one that really kind of killed him.
Well, maybe Adam Gase shouldn't get a head coaching job.
No, I
was trying to make Bears fans happy about something. You know, everyone, this is the city, okay? Maybe this happens in other cities. Cutler's having a great year, the best year of his career. No one can appreciate it because they're already worried about Adam Gase leaving. Just enjoy the offense. Enjoy watching Cutler play the way he's playing. Enjoy the running game. Enjoy that Adam Gase is here. And then freak out when he leaves. I mean, it's like it's total Cub fan, fatalist thoughts. And I'm a Northwestern fan, so I know everything about these kind of, feelings. But it's just, and like the defense has that great game. Then suddenly people are like, well, wait, now is Vic Fangio going to go somewhere? Just enjoy watching the way the Bears are playing. Maybe not the last 2 weeks, but when they're playing well, just enjoy it. Is that too much for me to ask? Yes, it is. It is. But John Sally's, he knows it's too much to ask. And judging by the way people react on Twitter, it's okay. I understand. I do. I really do. All right, we're done. We're not talking about the Washington game again. You were about to say something, and I know that because I'm looking at you as opposed to normally, so I can tell. And, you know what the one bummer is about you being in studio? No offense. No Spencer
Bowie.
No Spencer Bowie. Arthur's baby.
He sends his best this week. He felt really bad, but he was confident. You know, his back's kind of hurting because he's been carrying this show for the better part of the past 3 months, but he was confident in our ability to soldier through without him today.
All right, let's before we move on to the Vikings, actually, because I want to give you folks some positive things, some positive Bears thoughts. I got a chance to talk to Josh Bellamy in the locker room, and we haven't had one of these interviews in a while. We like to make these lighthearted and talk about goofy things. I did squeeze in like 2 serious questions to Josh Bellamy, so forgive me for those. But if you've ever wondered what it's like to go out on the town with Alshon Jeffrey, you'll enjoy this interview. So here is Josh Bellamy. We're joined right now by Josh Bellamy, and he probably doesn't know this, but he's actually been mentioned on our podcast twice this year.
No, for real?
Christian Jones calls you the best dancer on the team.
Oh, man.
And Mark Mirani said you were the fastest.
I don't know about that no more, man.
Deontay wasn't here when he said that, so.
I don't know, man. DT, he moving.
But what about the dancing line?
The dancing? No, man. I think if you had to say the best dancer, I think it's Cam.
Cam Meredith?
Yeah, man. You know, he got some moves. He be in the meeting room doing his little thing.
Rookie stepping up. That's good to know. All right, so if you're not the fastest, nor are you the best dancer, is what you're telling me.
Nah. You know, I got some moves, though.
Yeah, maybe you're the humblest one.
Yeah, I'm getting on the humble side, maybe.
Okay. All right, well, that's legitimate. So one of the things we were talking about last week was most intimidating guy in this locker room. A couple guys have said McPhee.
Yeah.
You have to throw that in there. What about on offense, though? Who would be the guy on the offensive side of the ball?
Most intimidating? Maybe Kyle Malone.
Yeah, because you want, if there's a scrum after the play, you want Kyle on your side.
He gets very competitive and intense.
Yeah.
He's a different kind of dude.
So I was told in the summer that with Brandon gone, Josh Bellamy was suddenly the loudest guy in the wide receiver room. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, I confirm that.
You're not nearly as loud as he was. I mean, Brandon's on a different level, but you're filling in for the chatter? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, man. You know, but it's all good. It's all for the good, a good cause.
What's it been like this year with, these new guys and everybody rotating through, you getting more time than you've ever gotten in your NFL career? It's been fun for you?
Yeah, it's been great. But, at the end of the day, you want to see everybody healthy and everybody back. So now that we got everybody back and, it's looking good, just to see those guys on the field at one time, it's a sight to see.
What, guys, let's say you're on the road, what are things that you have to have with you for a road trip?
I got to have my music.
Okay.
I got to have my beet pill. I take this everywhere.
Take the beet pill.
No, for Club 11. pretty much, I got to have my shoes. Have me a couple pair of shoes. Got to have my outfits right. Got to have a toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant.
Thank you for that.
You know, and my guys.
All right. Well, that leads me to the next question. Best dressed on this team.
Excuse me?
Best dressed on the team.
Best dressed? Oh, man. You know, I'm up there in the running. I'm in the running.
Well, you're up there for best practice shirt before a game.
Yeah?
Because you have your name on your shirt.
Oh, yeah, man.
We all see that.
I'm swagged up at all times. But if we had to talk about the suit game, mm-hmm. and on that level, I think we got Tracy Porter, Marquise, and Marty.
What about Six? He's got...
Yeah, Jay, you know he...
He's got different caliber.
Yeah, he got different caliber. I don't even know the name of some of the stuff he be wearing. Yeah, oh, man, don't forget Matt. I'm going to say Matt. Matt and Tracy, mm-hmm. number one.
All right, well, these are important things to know. So you mentioned music. I've given you a few minutes. Can you give me, like, a few songs, whether it's, you know, before practice, before a game?
Yeah, let me think. Man, I listen to so much music, man, before the game. I'm going to just say some artists. I listen to Migos, some Rick Ross, some Meek Mill, some Drake, you know, some Young Jeezy, some Kodak Black, some Young Thug. I listen to a lot of stuff, man.
Now, can you guys get Drake out here? Because Drake's always at the court side of the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah,
game.
Man.
Why is he on the field of the Bears?
He might need to come through, man. We might have to give him a call, man. Tell him to come through, man. You know, we're going to show major love. You know, ain't nothing like Chicago.
Chicago. You got a favorite thing about the city?
You know, I'm a Bulls fan. Michael Jordan all day. D. Rose. Like those boys. I am a Cleveland fan. Somewhat. But I'm taking the Bulls. I like the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Blackhawks. I don't even really watch hockey, but I watch the Blackhawks.
Yeah, well, when it's playoff time, you got to turn it up.
Yeah.
What about, like, restaurants or anything?
Oh, yeah, I go to Tavern.
Okay.
All the time.
It's a new one, because everybody says Gibson's and everybody
says Tavern. I go to Tavern all the time. You know, I do the Benihana's. You know, that's a little norm, you know, in some places. Let me think. I go to a lot of places down there. STK, we went there, me and Alshon, and Lamar, we went there for the first time, last week?
Mm-hmm.
It was nice.
Yeah.
So
when you go out with Alshon,
mm-hmm.
does he get a lot of...
Man.
Not saying that you wouldn't. I'm just
I got to stop going out with Alshon, man. Every time I go out with him, man, it's like a press conference.
Yeah.
Everybody everywhere, man. One time we went out, I forgot who we were playing. Some guys, they came out, they got started getting on each other's backs and all kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man.
Just to see Alshon.
Yeah, just to see Alshon. They love him.
Do you feel out as a spokesperson when you guys are out?
Yeah.
I mean, he can hold his own, but he's a little quieter than you are.
Yeah. But, he I always show love. He show love to everybody, mm-hmm. especially the kids.
What, is there a thrill better than you're a gunner on special teams? You don't see the wave for the fair catch, and you know you got a free shot.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Is that fun?
That's like a dream come true. I'd be waiting to see that. But I always get a fair catch. I got a couple of them this year. Sherrick took it from me last week. Yeah, man, I was kind of mad about that one. But this week, you know, I'm trying to get him. I'm trying to beat him out in the point system.
Just a few more here with Josh Bellamy. So what happens when you piss Jay off? Is that like a...
Jay?
Like if you run the wrong round in practice or something, is that...
You just already know when you come back, he's going to be giving you that stare.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but just try not to mess up. That's the best way to go.
Fun to catch passes from him, though?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, he had to get used to it at first, man.
Yeah.
He throw the ball so hard and fast. But he got a strong arm. But, you know, it's fun to play with Jay. You know, he's a guy, he wants to win, and, he's all for the team.
We got Christmas coming up.
Yep.
Do your shopping?
Not yet.
Who's getting the best gift from a Josh Bellamy? Is it you got a family member? You got to make sure you got to get a perfect gift for this person?
My mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Make sure mom is taken care of.
Yeah. All right, now because Eddie Royal walked in the room, what's one thing you've learned from Eddie?
just how to study the game. You know, Eddie, he's a real pro, man. You know, he takes it very serious in the meeting rooms and on the field and in the weight room. You know, just watching Eddie, he's taking notes all the time. You know, even if he's done seen this stuff a million times, but he's still taking notes.
You don't have to suck up too much.
No, man. No, man. But, like, for real, though, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, I used to watch, like, just coming in, you know, and you watch the guys. And, you know, if you come in and you watch Eddie, he's always got a pen, always got his pad out, he's always taking notes, he's always asking questions. And, you know, those are the type of guys that help the guys around him get better, you know, because some guys might not know how to ask those questions. But, you know, just watching Eddie, you know, and being around him, you know, he makes everybody better.
Honestly, just two more quick ones, not on the football field. Who's got the best ride on this team?
I don't know, man. Kay White kind of killing the game right now. He got the Maserati. I don't know.
That rookie bonus.
Yeah, man. I don't know, man. Kay White, I think Kay. Oh, no. Entrell, too. Entrell. Entrell got the Maserati, too, but it's sick.
All right, we'll wrap up with this. We talked about fastest guys in the team.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the slowest?
The slowest? Yeah. You mean the slowest out of the skill position? Can't say the big guys. I don't know, but out of the skills.
Well, I didn't want you to throw any of your guys under the bus.
I'm never going to throw none of my guys. My guys are the fastest on the team.
Yeah, so I'll open up to the whole room. I mean, is it easy to say Big Eddie over there? Or,
Eddie be moving, man. You seen his dance he was doing last week?
Did.
You got that set?
That was the longest sack dance, I think, in the history.
But it was swagged up. He was swagging. I don't know, man. I might say Jink. I'm saying Jink, man. I'm going with Jink.
All right.
No, Willie. I'm going with Willie. You seen his interception? He should have scored.
All right, so there you heard it first. Willie Young should have scored on that interception from Josh Bellamy. Josh, thank you for joining us.
All right, you're welcome.
I hope everyone learned a lot about the Bears there from Josh Bellamy. Again, big thanks to him for jumping on the podcast there and talking about goofy stuff with me and putting up with my silly questions. There's only so many professional athletes that'll kind of open up and talk about stuff like that, and Josh Bellamy's one of those guys. This has been a big year for him. I don't know if he's a free agent and he could be back as a special teamer. He's shown enough as a wide receiver, made some big plays there. He's been an important part of the team.
A couple things on that. There's also only so many interviewers who can get the athletes to open up the way you do, Kevin. So that is wonderful work. And I was just going to say, Josh Bellamy, probably not one of the options you're looking for as an NFL wide receiver, but he's carved out quite a niche as a special teamer. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'd have to imagine he's up near the top of the list for special teams tackles and certainly snaps in that third phase.
Yeah, he's been down there a lot, and Sheriff Manis has been down there as well. So they've improved that. The punt coverage has been much better of late, and the last time they gave up a big return was the Minnesota Vikings.
So let's talk
about the Minnesota Vikings. It was Marcus Sherrill's, a 65-yard punt return touchdown. And Arthur, I was going back to that game. Teddy Bridgewater had 73 passing yards through three quarters. He was 10 of 20. He had thrown an interception. And then three big plays in the fourth, and he had a big scramble, which I know you wrote about after that game, and that was it. And actually, Antrell Rolls on the radio this week, he still is thinking about that play, the deep pass to Charles Johnson that he thought was going to be a pick. He mistimed the jump. Johnson caught it. Blair Walsh hits the game-winning field goal. You know, Bryce Callahan's having a great game. He gets a concussion. Sheriff Manis comes in, and they go right after McManus. Yep. Just an awful final few minutes in a game that the Bears defense had played really, really well. I mean, that's when I remember that game, I just think about those two big plays, Diggs and Johnson, and how it just nullified everything else the Bears did to Bridgewater.
Yeah, and with Diggs, like you said, it was a cold McManus coming off the bench, and he missed the tackle, and Diggs got loose on the long explosive gain that set up the Vikings. I guess that was for the tie, if memory serves.
And one thing about that play that when we look back at it,
McManus should have made the tackle, but that play was extended by Bridgewater, and the pass rush did nothing, and Diggs had to reroute himself a couple times. I mean, I don't know how many corners in the league could have stayed with him in that situation, but it reminded me the pass rush, one sack and two quarterback hits in that game. If they want to win in Minnesota on Sunday, they're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and it's amazing, though, that Bridgewater was struggling so much, you know, despite a lack of pressure, and then just quickly on roll, and I don't know why it just occurred to me, but it's a shame that he's now on IR, because after Charles Woodson, it was Antrell Rowe who had the longest streak of seasons with an interception. That was his one prime opportunity when Charles Johnson came out of nowhere to pluck that ball on the Vikings' final drive, and unfortunately, that was a pretty cool streak that's now come to an end for Rowe.
And that is your Arthur Arkish fun fact of the podcast. We are going to get that sponsor next year, right? Executive producer Dan Mott, associate producer John Sally.
Not I better make sure it's right. Let me go check out.
All those potential sponsors that are listening, that's something you want to jump on, you know, because that's going to be big time.
Kevin's idea of fun is way different than mine.
I like that fun fact. That was a good one. But, you know, that brings us to, we haven't really talked about some of the news of the week. Antrell Rowe on IR and Kevin White is not going to play this season. Does not surprise me. I don't think it surprises you.
No.
Doesn't surprise you.
We both talked about it. I think we both, you know, predicted that that would be the case in training camp, actually.
So it'll be Chris Brzezinski at safety the rest of the year. And then on offense, you know, they haven't had Kevin White at all. So, you know, here's a guy to keep an eye on. Deontay Thompson. Maybe we'll see a little bit more of him at wide receiver. He did a good job adjusting his route when Cutler was scrambling on third down, had the long game. We've seen what he could do on kickoff returns. You know, making a case to come back next year?
He's become a bit of a spark plug, actually. It was his return at Lambeau Field that got them going a little bit, got the offense started. Same thing happened with a really long return last week, and then the broken play, like you said. That's a good sign that he is on the same page with Cutler enough that he can work himself open and be a, you know, quarterback's good friend there.
Let's jump back to the Vikings and that game against Arizona, what was your biggest takeaway? I know everyone thinks about the Bridgewater sack and how that game ended and kind of poor clock management by Mike Zimmer, but the fact that they were in that game, because I think a lot of people thought the Cardinals were going to win by a lot, what was your takeaway from the way the Vikings played?
That was it. I mean, they were without three of their top four best defenders. They were on short rest after just getting thrashed by Seattle. You figured they were going to, in Seattle, obviously, second place NFC West team. You figured going on the road on short rest, they were going to get pounded again. But it was the way they competed. Mike Zimmer said afterwards, no moral victories. And no surprise to hear he doesn't believe in those. But a lot of young players contributing, kind of playing over their heads. And to me, that's a, you know, a testament to the players, but also to the coaches for getting them ready in a short week. And, you know, the Vikings have lost three out of four, but they're still in pretty good postseason shape here. And I know we'll be able to ask Mark about that here shortly.
Yeah, and I'll ask Mark this, but I'll ask you too. And Arthur covers the NFC North for us here at Chicago Football and for USA Today. Have you seen Teddy Bridgewater make strides, maybe not this whole season, but at least since week eight? Because he did not look good at Soldier Field.
He made strides last Thursday. 335 passing yards was a career high for him. I just think when you look at the numbers from his rookie year to his second year, they're really, really similar. So he has been up and down. I don't think there were a ton of them, but certainly until that final play last Thursday, Bridgewater was playing, if not his best game, one of his best games as a pro.
All right, let's talk to somebody who knows a lot more about the Vikings than we do as we go behind enemy lines. All right, joined right now by Mark Craig, covers the Vikings and the NFL over at the Minneapolis Star Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at MarkCraigNFL. And Mark, Arthur and I were just talking about that Vikings-Cardinals game. And I'm wondering, I guess the mood around the team, obviously a very frustrating loss, and they've had some extra time to think about it, but it's still a pretty impressive performance considering all the players they were missing. How have the Vikings kind of shifted gears from that game and as they get ready for the Bears on Sunday?
Well, yeah, I mean, people talk about there's no moral victories in the NFL, but really there are. I mean, you look at how they played against Seattle. It was a lifeless performance, got blown out at home. There was a lot of doubts about the team, and then, you know, everything was stacked against them going to Arizona. I mean, I've covered the league a long time, and everybody says nobody, you know, nobody gave us a chance to win. Well, in this case, nobody did, absolutely nobody. We thought they were going to get blown out. You know, they have four starters who are out, including their best defensive player in Anthony Barr. Their both safeties were out, including probably their second best defensive player, Harrison Smith. And then the nose tackle, Linval Joseph, was having an all-pro type season before he got hurt. So So, you know, you throw that out, you had four rookies starting, three of them making their first NFL start, and one of them was just promoted from the practice squad, you know, 2 days earlier. So, you know, they lost, but I really think that it was a boost to them coming off that Seattle game. Now, you know, they need to get healthy in order to sustain that because, you know, they need to get their health back, but that, for now, was a good boost coming off of the Seattle game.
And Mark, I want to get an idea, or at least as much as you know, about if they're going to be healthier this week. But I do have to ask, we don't want to look back too much. I'm just curious to get your take on that final play, the slow developing routes, trying to get closer, trying to get a touchdown, and then obviously the Bridgewater strip sack. What did you think of the play call and the way Teddy handled it?
Well, I think, you know, Teddy didn't execute. I think if you look at the play before that, they had 18 seconds left, and you know, they tried to get a little few more yards, and he threw it away immediately. I think they only lost, you know, 5 seconds on that. So they were anticipating him executing that the same way, mm-hmm. and it was the targets that he's looking at, where they're coming from left to right. So I'm not crazy about the play. I don't mind the fact that they're trying to get a few more yards because, you know, it's a 49-yarder, and granted, Blair Walsh had made a 54-yarder earlier in the fourth quarter, so they were in his field goal range, but There's always that, you know, if they were to miss that 49-yarder, you say, well, you had 13 seconds, you could have run one more play. So I don't have a problem going with the play. I have a problem with Teddy, you know, who had played really well up to that point, not executing, and also maybe the play being a little too slow developing.
Mark, when Teddy and the Vikings were at Soldier Field in Week 8, I mean, he was awful through three quarters, and then he obviously made some big plays there in the fourth quarter. The one stat that really stuck out to me in that game was Adrian Peterson was great, but only got 20 carries. I know this is such an Adrian Peterson storyline throughout his whole career, but how have you seen the consistency in terms of the ebbs and flows of how Norv Turner has used Peterson this year, and then, I guess, do you expect him to get the ball a lot more this Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in today's NFL, whenever, like, say, there's been some games where I'm trying to remember which one. There's the Packers game. There was another game where they get into a situation where, yeah, you head into the game, you want to run Adrian, you want to be this dominant running football team, but all of a sudden you get a penalty and it's first and 20, and then it kind of throws them off. So they're a team that can be dominant. Like when they went to Atlanta, you know, the Falcons had number one run defense. They were putting 8 and 9 in the box, and they were determined to stop Adrian, and they couldn't do it. And the Vikings just lined up with three tight ends and ran them over, and it was the dominating old-style type of football game. But, you know, whenever they get in a situation where they commit penalties or there's turnovers, it throws them out of whack. And then you look at the Seattle game where, you know, they get the ball in the first third down, it's 3rd and 3, and they decide to throw the ball, and it's a sack. You know, but they had run Adrian the first two plays, and maybe it's 3rd and 3, it calls for another run if you want to be this dominant running football team. But by the time they got the ball back, it was 8 minutes later, and they were down 7-0, and then it was 14, and then Teddy threw an interception that Seattle turned into 21-0 at halftime, and all of a sudden Adrian's out of the game. He's non-factor. So their goal is to establish Adrian earlier, but things can really upset that style of play if you're not complete. There's not a big margin for error, let's put it that way.
And just sticking with Bridgewater, Mark, what's the feeling in Minneapolis? I don't know if he's taken quite the sophomore leap that some expected. What do you think on that? And kind of, is he going to get to a point where the Vikings feel he can win games for them, or are they always going to try and mask him when they have such a dominant running back?
Well, I think that they feel that he's a game guy that can win games for them. If you look at the Chicago game, and they're down by 7 in the closing 4 minutes or whatever, and they end up, you know, winning the game on the last second field goal. And that was Teddy. I mean, Charles Johnson makes a great catch, but he put the ball down the field in that situation, and then they won the game. In Detroit earlier this year, you know, the Lions came out, were up 14-3 or whatever, and I think it became a passing game, and Teddy threw for over 300 yards. The first Detroit game, these are the kind of stats that end up ultimately hurting his average passing yardage totals. But the first Lions game was an old school running type of game. He threw 18 passes, completed 14. He only had 150 yards passing, but it was a good game. It was a turnover-free game. It was exactly the type of game that they needed the quarterback to play. And they've had a few of those where it's, you know, him throwing for 150 yards and taking care of the ball and them running the ball. So, and I think there has been times where he's, you know, that, you know, there's the Bears game and also the first half against the Chiefs, which ends up being a lot better win than it looked like at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, he threw for like 180 yards in the first half because they were so determined to stop Adrian. So there's signs there that he's definitely a quarterback to go forward. I don't know if he's going to be the greatest quarterback in the world, but there's signs that, you know, that they can win with him.
Talking Bears-Vikings right now with Mark Craig of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Switching gears to the defense, Mark, Arthur alluded earlier to all the players missing on defense. We're talking on Tuesday, so I know we don't know the full injury reports, but what's kind of your guess in terms of guys' availability for Sunday's game?
Well, yeah, it's very early to tell. I mean, probably the least impactful player is Andrew Zendejo, and I think he's going to play. I'm almost positive he'll play. But the ones everyone's looking at is the big three of Barr, Smith, and Linval Joseph. If I were to guess on Tuesday, I would say that Barr and Smith make a go and try to play. I'm thinking that Joseph, his toe might be broken, or, you know, it's a foot injury, but his toe's wrapped up. He could be a guy that's longer, you know, but it's really early. It's early to tell.
And Mark, sticking with the defense, what do you think of some of the young contributors? You alluded to the rookies, guys like Trey Waynes and Danielle Hunter. What do you think of the kinds of contributions they've been getting from those guys? And obviously, you know, a big part of this rebuild has been the way that Rick Spielman's been able to get that defensive nucleus going. I'm assuming the future continues to look bright even with this latest rookie crop.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, the future looks really good. I mean, people have been kind of down on Trey Waynes, but they're forgetting how thin this team was at cornerback, like in 2011 and some other years where, I mean, it was like a high school team trying to cover an NFL team because they were, you know, there was injuries and they were, you know, the one year they brought Benny Saplin off the street and just put him back in there and he had no business even playing. But now Trey Waynes has, Thursday was his first start because they've been deep at corner. They got Xavier Rhodes, who's been playing really well. Terrence Newman has been a big boost, starting age 37, playing pretty well. Captain Munderland has improved. He's went from starter to being their nickelback. So, you know, their first-round draft pick is their fourth cornerback at this point. And, you know, there's indications that he's going to be he's a first-round type of talent. And to me, it's nice to have that guy because, you know, Newman's 37. He's not going to be around, you know, much longer. So he's going to be able to step in. And Hunter's been a big surprise. He was sold to us as kind of a raw guy and that maybe not wouldn't contribute much this year. But he's been a really good, versatile player. You're seeing a lot of similarities in the types of athletes that you're getting. Like Anthony Barr was raw, came in, and he only played 2 years of linebacker at UCLA in his life before he came here. And I mean, he's going to be an all-pro, I think. Hunter was a kind of a raw guy that brought him in, and he's really helped out. You know, Sharif Floyd at tackle whenever he's healthy is another young guy that could, you know, could do a lot of really good things. Kendricks, the middle linebacker, is the smallest player but instinctive, fast. I mean, this defense, if they can stay together and stay healthy, has a lot of potential.
Mark, we'll wrap up with this. I think that Arthur and I have talked about this on the show before, that a lot of teams talk about trying to be like the Packers, but if you look at the Vikings, the way they've been able to build, I think that's a good benchmark for the Bears to try to get to a little bit as they try to get towards the Packers. Right now, the Vikings, I mean, if they get one more win or even, you know, obviously two, they should be in the playoffs, but when you look at this season, you look at where this team's going, how would you sum up kind of where they are in the NFC North and what's coming for this franchise?
Well, I think, you know, it's one thing to say you can build like the Packers, but you aren't going to be the Packers unless you have Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I mean, those guys make all the blemishes go away. And, you know, to me, I think the Vikings can be competitive, very competitive in the NFC North, but they're going to have to play a very clean type of game, especially as Rodgers. I mean, who knows how long his prime is going to last, but as long as they're playing a Rodgers, they're going to have to, you know, keep the penalties low, turnovers low, run the ball, and get them in situations where they can be creative and rush him on third downs. And we saw a little bit of that. I mean, the score's not indicative of it. It's 30-13, but Rodgers really wasn't crisp in that game, which is saying a lot because in past games against the Vikings, it's been, you know, just pitch and catch. He's not even had to break a sweat for years, you know, to be, except when Favre was here, you know. So to me, it's, you know, the defense is where this identity for this team is, and right now Teddy Bridgewater, kind of, he needs to do his job, and eventually Adrian's not going to be around, and then the idea would be to transition into where it's more of Teddy's team, and I would see the offense shifting a little bit.
All right, Mark, again, we appreciate you taking some time on your Tuesday night to talk Bears-Vikings, and I think we can all agree we hope it'll be more exciting than last year's game in Minnesota between the Bears and Vikings.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care. We'll see you on Sunday. Mark Craig of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter this week to get some Vikings knowledge at Mark Craig NFL. And Arthur, there's three things I remember most from that game last year in Minnesota. Number one was my legs were very cold. Okay, so the way these press boxes work, there's usually one, two, or three rows, okay? And I get there, and I'm in the first row. And that, I was kind of like, oh, cool, because usually I'm in the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to the traveling media, so I'm usually going to get the worst seat. And I look, and I look behind me, I see, you know, Brad Biggs is up in the second deck, and I hear him. I'm sitting in the front row. I get right on the glass and looking at a beautiful field there in Minneapolis, and I sit down, and it is freezing. And I realized that why nobody was sitting in the front row. Luckily, I had my winter coat with me, so I spent the entire game with the winter coat draped over my legs. Memory two, turning to my right once I got myself all warm and cozy and seeing Virginia McCaskey in the McCaskey's box right in plain view of all the reporters, obviously one day before they fired everyone. So that was very interesting. George McCaskey very excited about a long Mark Mariani return in that game. And of course, my third memory, Mark Trestman after the game, defiant that he was going to be back the next year as head coach, and he lasted about 16 hours. And I landed at O'Hare on Monday morning to about 7 texts from associate producer John Solly here letting me know that the wheels had turned, everything was moving forward, and they had fired everyone. So when I think of Minnesota, Arthur, those are the things that I think of.
I'll add two more memories. I wasn't there. I was actually at Lambeau Field for that Week 17 play-in game between the Packers and Lions. That was special. Rodgers getting knocked out and coming back and leading the Packers to the playoffs. Wasn't that also sort of the trivial Matt Forte record breaker?
It was.
102 catches, I believe.
It was weird because they threw him the ball a lot, so somebody wanted him to get the record, right. But he wasn't very excited about that record. Because he knows what it means generally. But you're right. He got the running back reception record that day.
So there's that to remember from the Mark Trestman era and the what could be the close of the Matt Forte era here with the Bears. But we'll see.
So I said this to you earlier today. I would not be surprised. I would be more surprised if the Bears went 0-3 than if they went 3-0. I think looking at the opponents, the way the Bears have played, I expect three more close games. Three more coin flip games. And I just don't see this team finishing the season 5-11. I know it's so hard to predict these things, and we'll get to our predictions in a moment. But I don't think it's ridiculous to think that they're to go 3-0. But I would be stunned if they finished 5-11.
Anyone who's seen my record predicting games this year would say maybe you're putting it lightly when we say they're hard to pick. But no, I agree with you, and I think that's largely the coaching. And you're not going to see this team quit. I'm quite confident in that. And that might be the sixth memory from that game in Minnesota, even though I wasn't there in person. But anyway, no, I tend to agree. But again, I haven't had a clue all season long, so that may not be the best sign.
You know, your record's only one game worse than pretty much everyone else.
Oof. Well, so, we're all struggling.
So we're all bad. Nobody knows what to pick, so just assume that. We'll get to those in a moment. First, your player to watch on Sunday in Minnesota.
Yeah, I didn't really think about this that much. I'm going to go with Eddie Goldman, because what I remember the most about the first meeting back in Week 8 is how the Bears' defensive line got absolutely pushed around. Adrian Peterson was running to the second level pretty consistently without being touched. Goldman has been, you know, among the best Bears players in recent weeks, and people don't know his name, but the Vikings center Joe Berger has filled in for Jonathan Sullivan this year. He's been quite good, so we'll see how Goldman handles that battle and what he does in what's expected to be a really heavy Adrian Peterson workload.
I'm watching Matt Forte. You know, Langford played three more snaps than him last Sunday.
You probably noticed that, huh?
And look, the game was kind of weird because they went down 14 twice. Langford also got 7 targets in the passing game. Forte only got 2. I don't think he's coming back to Chicago. That's for another podcast or another day. But he's got to start auditioning for some other teams, and you know he wants to put up big games. He wants to win. He wants to put up some big numbers. This is a team that he's had some success against in his career. And, you know, Mark was talking about those injuries for Minnesota. Maybe Forte gets a big day as a runner and receiver.
It's a good call, and the Vikings' defense has been very good this year, but they have had some issues defending the run at times, so you'd have to expect, certainly for this Adam Gase offense, that's you know, going to be the centerpiece of the game plan.
All right, let's go to our picks that are, as everyone knows, sure to be wrong, but that's okay because, you know, you still love them anyways. Executive producer Dan Mott, who you got?
Guys, just to make the right, make it clear, I picked Washington last week, and I'm not happy about it only because I shouldn't be boasting.
Oh, so you're trying to remember and San Francisco the week before. Yeah. All right. No, I'm glad you're setting the record straight.
Dan Mott is on a
giving this podcast a little bit of credibility. Thank you, Mr. Mott.
Next week, the ChicagoFootball.com podcast hosted by Dan Mott.
All right, guys. I have Bears winning this one this week. I got Bears 28, Vikings 24. I feel like they're going to play to win this week, and they're not at Soldier Field, so they have a better chance at winning this week.
1-800-DAN-MOTT for all your Sunday NFL picks. All right, John Solly.
Seriously, why are we collecting picks from you guys? This should really just be a Dan show. This is an 800 line waiting to happen. I'm going to go Minnesota 27, Bears 21. I think Robbie Gould makes a field goal in the fourth quarter, though. That's my prediction.
Even though you have the Bears getting...
Even though it doesn't mean anything, I think he makes a field goal.
Arthur Arkish, whose record is 3-10.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Sure to be, I think it's going to be 4-10, but I guess I felt confident most weeks. I feel fairly confident the Bears are going to come up a little bit short this week. I think the Vikings have so much to play for. They've had extra rest, and I think it'll be another close one, but I'm going to say Vikings 23, Bears 18 to get in kind of the weird score trend that you've been going with lately.
Well, I stopped caring about my picks a long time ago. I think I'm 4-9. My spread record against the spread is a little better, so I decided to wait for your and Hub's picks to come in and then pick against you guys. So let me tell everyone Hub's picks, by the way, while I find it. Arthur, say something while I find this on my computer here.
We didn't even mention Hub, the closer, isn't able to come out of the bullpen this week. He's actually hosting live on The Score. Not that that matters because we're taping this show, but he's having Mitch Unrein, the touchdown machine, on his show this evening. So Hub apologizes, and he will be back next week with bells on.
My internet's not working. I'm pretty sure Hub said Vikings 27, Bears 24. When he had a fun score last week with 30-29, but he went back to a boring score this week. So Hub went with Minnesota 27-24. I wanted to go against the two of you for fun. The Bears are good on the road, and they should have beat the Vikings last time. So I'm going to go with Bears 19, funny number there, and Vikings 17. That'll do it.
There you have it.
For this, I want to play that based on my record with picking the Bears to win. That'll do it for episode 16 of the ChicagoFootball.com Bears podcast. Arthur, it's fun having you in here. Bring the baby next time. Just bring Spencer in studio next time, and then we'll get a microphone for him. We'll all have a blast.
We'll see what I can do, and that's a teaser. All you listeners better be checking us out next week because Spencer is going to be back one way or the other, maybe even in studio.
By the way, speaking of a tease, and I've been meaning to do this, listen to the Fantasy Podcast. If you subscribe to Chicago Football, it should already be up there. John Solly, Arthur Arkish, JC Talon. You got Fantasy Semifinals this week, I imagine. Once we finish the show, I'm going to ask them who I should start in my lineup. So definitely be sure to listen to that as well. Don't forget, for all the best Bears news and analysis, visit us at ChicagoFootball.com. We'd also like to remind you to head over and subscribe on iTunes if you haven't. Chicago Football, we'd really appreciate it. Want to thank our sponsors, Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy Dealers. The Silverado is ready when you are. Get a head start on the new year with special offers and check out all of the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thank you to our guests on the show, Mark Craig of the Minneapolis Star Tribune and Bears wide receiver Josh Bellamy, executive producer Dan Mott, associate producer John Solly, and my co-host Arthur Arkish. I am Kevin Fishbane. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, have a great week. We will talk to you next week.